There is benefit for you to hear this again. There's benefit for your soul to hear this again. There's benefit for you in the day that comes for you to hear this again now. To hear the same gospel preached to you. To hear the same Jesus proclaimed to you. To hear the same Holy Spirit defined to you. To hear news of the same God the Father spoken of before you and worshipped about you. To be made known and to be preached among you is a safeguard for you. But if you want to discipline your mind to be fixed upon the truth of Scripture, then discipline your mind to only put yourself in position to be fed Scripture. If you want to be, if you want your life to be driven by the clever philosophies of men, there is a plethora of places for you to find that. But can I say to you from the precepts of Scripture here is that you put yourself and your family at risk. You put yourself and your family in danger. You put your family at risk of wanting to hear the philosophies of men rather than from the oracles of heaven. Paul's telling us this in verse 1 of chapter 3, that we would be a people with a disciplined mind. He's telling us secondly that because many times when we hear a doctrine, when we hear a truth for the first time, we struggle with it. We have a hard time with it. I think a third reason why Paul would say, this is no trouble for me. It does not irritate me to have to say this to you again. He's not saying it because I don't think you got it. He's not irritated like that. He wants us to hear this because he knows the minds of men are slippery and our memories are slippery. So I think Paul's telling us something for our benefit as a safeguard that we not treat the elementary things of God as elementary, as childish. There would certainly be an expectation inside of the Western church that Scripture memory is something for the children. And may I make a strong argument? I believe that's an accurate assumption to make, that Scripture memory is a benefit for children. And so households, fathers, mothers, help your children memorize Scripture. Start them off young, memorizing smaller, simpler pieces of Scripture, and then move them. Have expectations that they memorize more of Scripture. But never stop memorizing it yourself. He's saying, beware of these false leaders. Beware of these false converts. Beware of these false preachers of the gospel. They're clever, they're innovative, they're spectacular. Beware of the Oprah Winfreys. Beware of the Rob Bells. Beware of the Rick Youngs. Beware of the Shaq. Beware of these dogs, these evil workers, and rely on the attraction of Scripture. If you do not see Scripture as something to be attracted to, and you're always looking for the innovative, clever way to be attracted to God, then you're looking for something that is less attractive. And you're looking for something that will not take you to God. It's possible in the course of your days that your household will suffer. Some of that suffering will be of natural because we live in a world filled with sin. From time to time, our homes that are pursuing the glory of God will find ourselves in days of great tragedy. What do we do in that day? It has everything to do with what Paul's saying here as well. We don't rejoice in the Lord in the tragic sufferings that we experience, but we rejoice in the Lord that in this moment, when the weight of all of the tragedy is laid upon us, here's our moment to put the glory of God on display. Here's our moment to say to my neighbor, yes, it's hard. Yes, it's a tragic. Yes, it's hard. Yes, this disease is crippling and it's hard to cope and hard to deal from day to day. Yes, my mind wrestles and I suffer with bouts of depression. And yes, these hardships are real in my life. But I receive them as a moment to put the glory of God on display. I will rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Oh, dear church, may I urge you, rejoice in the same manner as Paul is saying here. Share your joy with each other, even while in the midst of hardship. Rejoice in the Lord.